Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up this hour on the show, Trash Tuesday. We'll do our trashes. We'll go around the table, trash-wise, coming up here on the staff in approximately 18 minutes from now. And then later on in the hour, former cocktail waitress turned sports handicapper, Kelly Stewart, who was once a model and cocktail waitress, ended up scoring big betting-wise and said, you know what? I can do this professionally. She's going to join us in studio to talk about March Madness coming up here in about 45 minutes from now. We just had Ed Reed here on the show in studio. And I got to say, Ed is one of my favorite players ever. And it ends up, that was my first time to talk to him, one of my favorite interviews ever. All of us here in the studio, incredibly impressed by Ed, because you can just tell from talking to him both on the air and the off the air what a thinker he is. And that thinking the game was as impressive as his physical attributes, which made him one of the greats of all time. You know, I open up the show saying future Hall of Famer. He's technically inducted into the Hall of Fame, but he hasn't had his ceremony coming up this summer. He was just voted in, rather, into the Hall of Fame in January, really early February, right before the Super Bowl. So this summer, when he actually goes in with his bust, is going to be a pretty special moment. And I think whether he was on your team or you played against him, everybody had such a respect for the way that Ed Reed played. Eric tweets, DA, I'm an Ohio State fan. I'm a Steelers fan. But your interview with Ed Reed was great. I love the way he played and the greatness he brought to the game. Rob tweets, outstanding interview with Ed Reed, one of the greats and an all-time favorite of mine. In a related item, your Patriots derangement syndrome continues unabated. Rob, you're right on both of those counts. I just will never be able to get over the amount of talent on the 0-1 Miami Hurricanes team, which is the most talented college football team ever assembled. The fact that their running back depth chart was Willis McGahee, Clinton Portis, Frank Gore, Najee Davenport, with Walter Payton's son, Jared Payton, also on the roster getting carries. Their college football running back depth chart was Clinton Portis, Frank Gore, Willis McGahee.
Is that good?
Their tight end depth chart was Jeremy Shockey and Kellen Winslow Jr. Their safeties were Ed Reed and Sean Taylor. Their defensive line included Vince Wilfork. They had 17 first-round draft picks. 17 first-round draft picks on the team. Their secondary included Antrell Roll, Mike Rumpf. They had linebackers Jonathan Vilma, DJ Williams. They, when all is said and done, will have three NFL Hall of Famers on their college football team. Ed Reed, Vince Wilfork, and Frank Gore. And Sean Taylor would have been probably in there. I mean, it is just stupid. Just totally ridiculous. So talking about the 0-1 Hurricanes with Ed Reed was a total thrill, but also his thoughts on Steelers and Ravens was really insightful, that he really hated those guys and that it was at a time where the NFL was different. The rules were different. That was the last great rivalry in the NFL. And maybe we'll get another one, but there is a nastiness and an attitude there for about a decade where those two games every single year just looked and felt different. They were vicious. They were truly gladiator events. And Rob, you're right about my Patriots arrangement syndrome. I was a little unfair about their capology surrounding the quarterback when I said they get lucky they play in the AFC East. They do get very lucky they play in the AFC East, but Belichick is very brilliant at manipulating Tom Brady's contract around other contracts. They signed some players like Stephon Gilmore. They've signed, obviously, Gronk to decent money. They'll go out of there, spend money sporadically, but they do an amazing job at building that roster. So you're right, I was a little unfair on that. But my point of the AFC East remains. 15 years, there hasn't been another good quarterback in the division. That's not because the Patriots are so great. That's because the Dolphins, the Jets, and the Bills have drafted so poorly. I want to talk about Zion for a second here because Zion Williamson is the major headline of this NCAA tournament. He is going to be the number one pick of the NBA draft, no ifs, ands, or buts, and he is a generational talent. People look at his windmill jams, his 360 dunks, and assume that he's just a dunker, that he's Dominique Wilkins, that he's Harold Miner, that he's just an NBA jam type player, but that's not fair because he is a great player. He is the best player in college basketball. His passing is excellent. His spacing around the basket is excellent. His defense is excellent. He cannot shoot from the outside, but everything else is an A or an A+. His rebounding, his putback, his spacing, his footwork. He's just a great college basketball player. Great. And he is the most interesting part of the NCAA tournament. Because how often do we get somebody like this that is this special and this dynamic on the best team? You should have six chances to watch him. I'm picking Duke to win the national championship because of Zion Williamson. If Zion had stayed out, then I would not think that Duke had any chance of winning. And that's amazing because they've got two other lottery picks, perhaps two of the top four picks in the draft. It could go Zion 1, JT Barrett 2, RJ Barrett 2, and then also Cam Reddish in the top four. So Duke has two other top tier lottery picks. And without Zion, they were 500, 3-3. They're different without him. But there's been so much commotion, so much conversation surrounding whether he should have come back and when he was injured, if he should play. And there were these two sides yelling at one another. And it got so hot, I saw Rich Eisen curse on Twitter. I mean, that's pretty amazing when Rich Eisen, who seems to be so chill, is cursing. He used the acronym STFU on a tweet. I said, my God, there's an STFU from Rich Eisen? Where have we gone? Twitter is so angry now. Rich Eisen is cursing. Here's Mike DeCourcy, longtime college basketball writer and insider, who joined the Score 1260 in Chicago last week, talking about Zion's return to action in the ACC tournament, and now the NCAA tournament.
I think these are the kinds of people who would walk into the Museum of Modern Art in New York and would see Van Gogh's Starry Night and would say, I wonder how much that is worth. I think that's what they would, you know, they wouldn't look at the painting and see how dazzling it is. They would say, I wonder how much that is worth. You just, at some point, it's not about just money. The point of the tweet that I sent out, which was to say, I wonder what all of the geniuses who said that he should shut it down thought of that, or thinking after that performance. And the point is, the performance itself is the point, that he would go out and play like that. It's not, can he get higher on the draft board? Life isn't just about that. Sports aren't just about that.
Now, I find this really interesting because Mike DeCourcy is a really good writer, but this to me is so naive that sports isn't just about money. Sports isn't just about that. For who? Everybody has their own definition of what sports is supposed to be or should be or is. But what happens if Zion is playing basketball for money? Is he suddenly not as respectable? Is he suddenly not the artist you want him to be? It's so weird, and I think this is this weird part of, maybe this is the weird part of college sports. Maybe this is why there's always this kind of uncomfortable balance or delicate toe-tapping around the reality of college basketball and college football. That he's an artist and it's about the performance. Well, what happens if an artist wants to get paid for their painting? I mean, what, now suddenly they're less of an artist? That part of this is so weird. It's like you have these very naive sports media people saying that he should do this for the magic of the tournament. That Zion should do this because Duke is Duke. And the Final Four is the Final Four. And hang your banner with the rest of the banners at Cameron Indoor Stadium. Ignoring the fact that we're not the performers here, we're just the audience. You know? We're just the audience. You can't tell the performer what his or her motivation needs to be or should be or why they should do this. You should do it for us. It's the magic of the tournament. I'd like to know if Mike DeCourcy would be okay not being paid to go cover the Final Four. If we said, Mike, look, it's the magic of the Final Four. You shouldn't be doing this for a paycheck. You should do this for the art of it. Mike, you're luckier than anybody else because you get a front row seat to the Final Four. Sometimes sports isn't about the money, Mike. Sometimes sports is about so much more. Look, you guys know there is nostalgia that I have with the sports that I loved growing up, and there's a beauty in sports that I try to bring to the table on a daily basis so that this isn't all cynical and making fun of things. But I'm also a realist. And do I love this job? Of course I love this job. I did it for free for a long time. I did it for little to no money for an even longer time. But I'm not so naive as to believe that the athlete should only be doing this for the love of the game, for my enjoyment. The same way I don't expect you as an audience to expect me just to do this for free. I love this. I want to do well at it for personal satisfaction. There's a chase here for me to get the perfect show. There's a chase here for me to do exactly what I've always wanted to do, but I'm not so naive as to believe you expect me to do this for free no matter what. Why do we do that with athletes? It's for the pageantry, the magic. It's an art. Look, as I said before, I wanted Zion to play again all along. I wanted him to play. I wanted him to not care about the injury to the knee. I wanted him to not fear re-injuring it. I wanted him not to focus just on his draft stock. But if he did, I couldn't blame him. It's not my life, it's his life. See, if Zion blows out his knee, myself and Mike DeCourcy and the rest of the sports media goes, oh man, that sucks. But we move on with our life. There's the next player to talk about and the next tournament. It's not like the NCAA tournament goes away. If Zion blows out his knee and never plays again, his life is ruined, not ours. There is such a weird part of this that there's this kind of old viewpoint of what college football and basketball used to be and should be, maybe in some type of fantasy world. And now shaming people that said Zion shouldn't play. See how stupid you were? It seemed pretty pragmatic to me. Zion has the lottery ticket. And right now he's risking the lottery ticket. Can't say he's not. He is. Now you might say, well, you risk it every single day. He could be hit by a bus. Okay. But if he didn't risk it again the rest of March, he'd still be the number one pick. And probably there's nothing that could happen right now, including some type of gruesome leg injury where he would not be the number one pick. But that certainly would compromise his NBA career if he's not quite ready yet to come back. And he's supposed to do it for the art? You lost me on that. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. Trash Tuesday is next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
Ben and this man together are magical. Write a check, cut the damn check, boop, boop, and we can entertain America. You want it? Write the damn check. Write the damn check.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Happy Trash Tuesday, everybody! Coming up this hour on the show, Kelly Stewart's going to join us, professional sports handicapper, looking ahead to March Madness. And the next hour will help you fill out your bracket even more with the maven of mid-majors, the Lancelot of low majors, the minutia of the madness. Dave Friedman, a.k.a. Super Dave, is going to join us here on the show. So all of that coming your way to help you fill out your brackets. But today is a Trash Tuesday, and so it's time to take out the trash.
So what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I got to trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
All right, Mraz, lead us off. Who are you trashing?
Look, I got to trash the guy on the subway sleeping today who frankly had some deli products out from his pants being down while sleeping.
Oh, wow.
It's the best way to put this. So I got on my subway car this morning getting down to the old studio, and I said, wow, this is great. A little emptiness down by the car. I noticed somebody sleeping in front of me, laid down. I was playing with my phone, and then about three stops later, I looked up and I realized why I was all alone. There was a lot hanging.
Oh.
And I think we've reached the point in 2019 where it's okay to pull up your pants when going to sleep at public places.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
So this guy was sitting up?
Sitting up, basically legs extended on a seat, shoes on the seat, and his back was up against a back. And while he was sitting up, his pants were halfway down his thighs, no underpants on.
And the Frankenbeans are out.
Yeah, it was Frankenberries. If you wanted a bowl of cereal, it was there to be had.
It was essentially an Italian feast. Sausage and peppers were for sale.
Correct. Marinated.
You know, that's really...
You can't happen.
You can't... How could it happen?
How could it happen?
So the pants, it wasn't like... Was he drunk?
Impossible to tell. He had a winter hat covering his eyes. He could have been dead, frankly. I don't know. I mean, he wasn't moving. He was sleeping.
He was kind of like Jacob Wilkins doing an update.
Exactly. Looked like Jacob Wilkins doing an update without pants on.
Weird.
Was he a bum?
If he was a bum, he was a fresh bum.
Fresh
He was
bum.
New to the streets.
New.
He's a rookie.
New
He's
to
a
bum.
Rookie bum.
New to the bum game.
He's fresh on the bum circuit. Because
okay,
he
so
had
just
clean
brought up.
Right, just brought up from AAA. He's
bum
fresh
bill.
On the bum bill.
Okay.
Because the sneakers were clean, the jeans were clean, but I guess the first thing to go when you're a bum is the underpants.
I guess so, yeah, that's true. Look, if you've got pants and you're a bum, you can't afford the underpants part of it. That's just a luxury.
That's just a luxury. But look, just buy dollar panties. I don't know what to tell you.
With panties. Dollar panties.
That's well, something on there.
No, but that's... But he brings up a good point. You know, you panhandle for the buck and you get the dollar panties. I don't know where you get dollar panties
from. Well, I'm just
from,
saying, you know, you go out there and you play the you
hey,
play the back of a construction
like
bucket.
Eight for a dollar.
How could it happen?
Go tie a fishing net together. You get something on there.
You got to know better, though, too. At any time of day, if a train car is empty, something bad is
going on
there.
But usually something stinks
up.
And nothing
Doesn't
stunk
matter.
Here. So that's why I think he was a new bum, too. Fresh smelling. But come on. We don't need the air raid attack there.
Yeah, he got fired last night.
Couldn't go home, so he's been just on the subway going back and forth.
You know, newly minted bum. You never know.
Never know. And by the way, when he gets up eventually, that's bare you know what on that seat, that next person that sits. So think right. Next time you want to sit on a train.
You are a machine of death.
Pretty sick.
Do we now have an Ed Reed pretty sick drop?
Pretty sick.
All right, Andrew Bogus, who are you trashing?
D.A., I assume this was your lead today, but I'm going to go back to it anyway. My trash is the NCAA/ESPN. ESPN leaked or accidentally published the women's NCAA tournament bracket yesterday.
That was bad.
3 hours before the selection show.
Yeah.
Sending schools into a tizzy with it, parties and reveals planned. Schools that were maybe on the bubble, they know they're going to get in. Now they're blindsided by not being in. Now, I think I told you yesterday, I took my daughter to Fordham because the Rams won the Atlantic 10 tourney, so they were going to find out their seed last night. So they were lucky enough that they were in practice when this happened, so they actually took the players' phones away, locked them in a room, brought them out at 7 o'clock from the old school isolation chamber.
Wow!
They didn't know where they were going. Everyone else in the gym knew where they were going. And because they were told at 7, we're going to do the selection show as if the leak didn't happen. So they start ESPN on the air, going bracket by bracket, region by region. But the idiots again on the left-hand slab start running the bracket, running through. So they're sitting there waiting for like the big reveal from Maria Taylor. And the left-hand side says 3, Syracuse, 14, Fordham. Oh. And everyone's like, do we applaud that? Oh. Do we cheer? So I mean, these players and coaches, you live for this. It's once in a lifetime to stand up and scream when your team is on the screen and your seed is there and your point, and no one got it yesterday.
They butchered it twice.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
Could you imagine if during the Big Ten championship game, CBS ran the brackets? And then they were like, oop, hang on. Ignore those. Yeah. Ignore everything.
La, 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 la.
We've got a Selection Sunday show still to go. That's amazing. Brad Heller, dessert coordinator, who are you trashing this morning?
Well, like you, D.A., I was down in spring training for a few days, and my turn for a flight nightmare story, maybe about 15, 20 minutes after we take off. It's about a 2.5, 3-hour flight. About 10 minutes after we take off, there's this smell from right behind me, and I'm like, why do I know that smell? There's a woman painting her nails.
Oh, I thought it was the freshly minted bum.
No.
No, okay.
Maybe she ended up becoming one after this flight.
Painting her nails.
Painting her nails. Now, before anybody could say anything, the flight attendant comes right down the aisle and stops and goes, Miss, that is not allowed on a plane. You can't do it. There's no air. Nobody can breathe.
Yeah.
So she, kind of under her breath, all right, she puts her stuff away. Okay, fine. No big deal. No problem. 10 minutes later, this same woman falls asleep and starts snoring so the entire cabin can hear it. I have noise-canceling headphones on, and I can hear the snoring. Ooh. Now, maybe my headphones are bad, but you can hear the snoring through the headphones.
Was she overweight or deviated septum?
Probably both.
Okay.
Probably went down. All right.
I didn't do an exam, but I'm going to say if I had to put my money on one or the other, I'd say both. So, I mean, this is like an hour of just like, I can't paint my nails, so I'm just going to fall asleep, snores through at least half the flight. And then the exclamation point, as soon as we land, the second the little boom goes on where you can start moving, I'm like 18, 19th row. She gathers her stuff and races down the aisle so she can be the first one off the plane. So this was like her living room.
All types of faux pas.
The same person.
Oh, worst.
All types.
Worst flyer ever.
Yep. Let's face it. That's straight trash.
I can only imagine like what she thought 2.5 hours she could just paint her nails in a closed cabin where everybody's just fainting from the noxious fumes.
I mean, when I was a kid, my mom would sometimes do it in the car, but at least you could open the window. I mean, there was nowhere to go. I mean, you'd have to go to the bathroom to avoid that smell.
I am going to trash. I hate to do this, but those in management that feel like they can take elongated vacations. We have somebody in the office that's taking a 3-week vacation. 3 weeks. Most people don't get 3 weeks off total for the year. This guy has the goal to take off 3 weeks in a row. Now, I guess he's going to like South Africa or somewhere and he's got a honeymoon going on or something like this, but Look, this is unacceptable because if I took off 3 weeks in a row, there would be a fill-in host to do the show for 3 weeks. Like, when I'm off, the show doesn't go dark. It's not like, oh, DA's not here, so there's no show this morning. The show must go on. This guy is out. There's no one to do this job. He gone. He just gone. I mean, if you are going to be out 3 weeks, you have to have somebody else be able to do your job. So what, we just all wait around playing tiddlywinks until you get back from your safari? This is unbelievable. This only happens in management. Could you imagine if you took off 3 weeks from your job, what your boss would say? Nah, I don't think so. Imagine you were like on a conveyor belt. Imagine you were on some type of assembly line. And you're like, yeah, sorry, I'm going to be off 3 weeks, so nobody gets the cars made for the next 3 weeks, okay? All right, no, the engines that we're building, the valves don't go on them for these 3 weeks, so everybody just go home. But people in management think they can do this because there's, you know, whatever, you guys will do all the other work for me, right? There's nobody to do your job! You got to get off this vacation!
Warm, sizzling garbage.
Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS.
You're not the first person to bring up this vacation.
Is anybody
Has a name.
Oh, what's its name?
I mean, it includes the person's name. Uh-huh. So do you feel comfortable with me saying it?
Okay. No. Why don't we... Can you use something that rhymes with that?
No.
Oh. All right. I mean, it has a name. This thing has a name.
It has a name because it's gone on. So it's going to live in infamy.
It's like a gremlin. Like, you can't feed it after midnight. It's its own thing.
And it's not over yet.
No, we're like 2 weeks into this. He's got like another week left.
Yeah, and three other countries.
Only in management could you pull this off. Bogish, if you went on vacation for 3 weeks, updates probably wouldn't exist.
I haven't looked at Pete all day because I wanted to ask for this Friday off. And it's Tuesday, and I feel like he's going to be mad at me. So, no, I don't. 3 weeks. Yeah, exactly. Now his voice is back to yell at me.
I mean, this is insane. It's a thing. It has a name.
It's just another lesson of how unimportant we are, that we think we're doing well, we think we have it good, and we have not accomplished anything yet because this would not be something that we could do.
You just got to get into middle management or upper management and then just not care. Just go Jay Cutler. Don't care. When we come back here on the show, Kelly Stewart's going to join us, professional sports handicapper, to look at the bracket. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
While the sun is out.
Hey, how's it going, DA? Thanks for making the driving traffic so easy. It feels great.
I feel good and I'm doing well.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
All right.
Thanks so much for being with us at a fine Tuesday. You can send us your trashes at a Trash Tuesday by tweeting at me, DA on CBS. The Player of the Week brought to you by Granger. Taking a look at the one who got it done this week, Logan Woodside. The San Antonio Commanders quarterback taking control of Sunday's blowout win over the Legends, 17-23 for a 164-yard total. Two touchdowns. He finds Mikhail Every Kiss Begins with K for a touchdown for the second straight week. His hot play recently helping make the Commanders' decision to relinquish their rights to Johnny Manziel even easier. The Player of the Week brought to you by Granger. Granger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it. Granger.com. And the Game Plan for Success sponsored by Napa. Taking a look at a team doing their plan for success well. The Warriors in Minnesota against the Timberwolves looking to end a 4-game road trip on a high note. They lost to San Antonio last night. The Spurs, winners of 9 straight games. Minnesota, 8.5 games back at the final spot of the West, so they're going to be out of the postseason. So, a breeze for Golden State? Probably. Napa Auto Parts has the expertise and parts that you need to help keep your car on the road, no matter how many miles it has. Quality parts, helpful people, that's Napa know-how. Our next guest has such a cool story, and she is here to help us fill out our brackets. From here on out, the rest of the show, you're going to want to be locked into the show because we're going to help you fill out your brackets and office pools. She was originally a cocktail waitress, bottle service waitress in Las Vegas. She's also a former bikini contest winner. And now she made national news. I'm just reading the bio.
No, I'm just laughing. You're good. Okay. I forgot about that part.
Oh, okay. It's just, I want to make sure that you know I'm just reading the bio that was sent to me here. And so then our next guest had this amazing betting run and win and now has parlayed that into becoming a national and professional sports handicapper. You see her on CBS Sports HQ. Kelly in Vegas, a.k.a. Kelly Stewart, joining us here on the show. Kelly, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me in.
My pleasure. Yeah, sorry. It just says former bikini contest winner.
I forgot about that part. I mean, that article was written in the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Gosh, it must have been 8 years ago now. And I remember him asking me, like, what's the first time you came to Vegas? And I was 19. I had my little fake ID. And I had won a trip to Vegas. I won one of the bars in town at K-State, had a contest. And, you know, you stand up there and you tell some dirty jokes. And they say, okay, cool, you win the trip to Vegas. And I had no friends that had fake ID. So I took my older sister, who's 15 years older than me. And it was an absolute disaster of a 4 days. Like, I'm shocked that I'm still alive.
What? Wow, that's a lot. You grew up in Manhattan, Kansas. You went to K-State. So your sister's 15 years older. Were you an oops then?
Oh, yeah, for sure an oops.
Okay.
Total oops.
Okay.
That is funny. I hope my parents are listening. They will admit that. My mom, actually, I brought her to the city with me. I hope she's listening right now. I texted her the link, and she's probably going to be like, yeah, you were absolutely an oops. I mean, my dad was almost 40. That's a definite oops.
Well, I don't know.
Not now, but in 1983, that was an oops.
That's probably true. But also, you don't usually usually do like family planning and go, well, in 15 years, we'll have another. No, you're usually like, we're wrapped up by then.
Yeah, we're done. We'd like to enjoy our lives. We're almost done with these.
Yeah. Yeah. So you end up going to Vegas, and was your plan to, okay, so you were out there and you were in a bikini contest. Was this for a bar or was this for?
It was like when I was like 19, I was in college, one of the bars in Aggieville in Manhattan, Kansas, did this thing. It's called Beauty on the Beach. You know,
beautiful beaches of Manhattan,
yeah,
Kansas.
30 girls, you know, like stand up there and you go, you have your rounds, you know, just like any other beauty pageant. The last one's a bikini round. And it was just really fun. That just made me laugh because, like, I literally think that's how I made most of my money in college. I worked at a bar and then I did bikini contests because it was they were so easy. They were like an easy $1,000 or that one was a trip to Vegas or you'd win. I think we won a trip to Panama City Beach 1 year or something ridiculous.
Classy,
you
yes.
know, super yeah. classy stuff. It's Kansas, so that was like really big deal back then.
No doubt. Absolutely. So you became kind of a professional at the bikini contest in college.
Almost.
You kind of knew.
You do the circuit, you do the few bars, you go to the neighboring college towns, you work their bars too. I mean, it is funny because that is what one of my best friends and I did on multiple occasions. Either she would win or I would win, take first, second, or first, third, or whatever it may be. And you know, then you had some extra cash in your pocket.
The defending champion from Rob's Bar and Grill in Wichita, Kansas. It is Kelly Stewart.
That's actually where she won Miss Hawaiian Tropic and got the state of Kansas. It was somewhere in Wichita. I remember being there. That is very funny.
So you go out to Vegas and the plan is I'm going to be a cocktail waitress, earn some money this way and kind of figure it out. And then you just kind of land in sports betting?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because the economy was just like, you know, it's 2008. What are you going to do? You're going to get a job and either lose it. You're going to go live with your parents after. I mean, just not ideal situations. And I remember telling my dad, hey, I'm going to move to Vegas and work at this nightclub. And I was thinking, God, he is going to lose it and be like, did you really just spend 5 years in college and now you're going to go, like, you know, basically, you know, waste your life in Vegas? And he was like, go for it. He was like, yeah, you know, he's like, you're going to make great money and you should go enjoy yourself. Like, you did all the things we asked you to do.
Your older sister wouldn't have gotten that green light, but the oops gets the green light there.
You know what's funny is I told my mom, I sent her a link of all the different stuff I've been doing. She's like, I'm so proud of you. I go, God, she hates me so much. And I was like, she doesn't hate you. And I go, she does, because like, she probably, first of all, she got chastised. She never got to do anything fun. She didn't get to go do all these things. You know what I mean? And now here's me and I'm just like, woo, Vegas! And now I'm in New York, and she's like, God, I hate you so much.
And you're making money sports betting.
Yeah, she totally thinks I'm a screw-up, for sure. But she doesn't care. I think it's one of those things where you're just like, fine, that's my little sister. You know, like the big eye roll emoji.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing. So let's talk about some of these lines, some of these numbers. Duke is the odds-on heavy favorite. There's no value in betting Duke for the national championship game.
I mean, there's no value in betting any of the one seeds, in my personal opinion. If you're going to bet one of the one seeds, it makes more sense. Obviously not the first round because they're huge favorites, but if they get to the second round, start betting them on the money line and roll it over. It makes more sense to do it that way than to try to, you know, get 2-1 at the best.
Yeah, Duke is 9-4 to win the national championship,
exactly.
So even bother doing that. Is there a good value you see for a national champion out there?
You know, I'm looking at Michigan State here, and the bracket that I pulled up, obviously I do a ton of brackets, right? Because everybody and their brother invites me to do their bracket challenge. $25 here, $100 there, one of those things. But my favorite one is I have Michigan State, Virginia in the national championship game. And I do think there's some value with Sparty at 15-1. I think their defense really didn't get enough credit this year. And also with Nick Ward coming back, I know he didn't play his 100% game against Michigan. But with him being back, I really think that they're a legit contender. And I think they could actually beat Duke to get in to the finals.
I think I saw Michigan at 16-1, if that's not.
Yeah, so Michigan State, I think they were 15-1 last time I looked. And they might be, depending on which book you're looking at.
That's not a bad value, I thought, either. John Beilein really a great coach, and they shoot well from the outside. They rebound well. I thought that maybe Michigan at 16-1 was decent value.
You know, I look at Michigan, and I do respect what Beilein's doing. I'm just looking at this West bracket, right? And I got Michigan either versus Florida or Nevada. That's a toss-up for me in my bracket. On some I have Michigan, some I have Florida. This one I have Nevada going. I think they're a little overrated, but I could see if they were able to beat up on Florida, which is one of my like sleeper picks to go, you know, maybe to the Final Four.
Oh, really?
That team is interesting. They're very inconsistent, but for some reason I hate to use this word in terms of sports, they have like a really good luck on their side. Both of those overtime games against LSU could have went either way, and then the last game, I'm just going, why can't I always just bet on a team that's this lucky? You know what I mean? Because you need that. I don't care what anybody says. You need that in sports betting. You need to have, you know, sometimes things just to go your way once or twice. Because if they go against you a few times, you're feeling real unlucky.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Kelly Stewart joins us, professional sports handicapper, looking at the brackets here. Is there any, let's say, really low seed? So let's say 13, 14, 15 that you go, oh, That might be a good team to bet on in the first round or two.
You know, last year we had no 12 seeds beat a 5, which is usually unheard of. You usually get one. But we had two 13 seeds. Buffalo and Marshall went outright. So I was kind of looking at the 13s, and it's not looking good for my home state. Northeastern, tons of money coming in on Northeastern. That line's dropped 4 points already.
To beat K-State.
To beat Kansas.
Oh, Kansas.
They're playing Kansas. So to beat Kansas. So that's really interesting. And this is a KU team that's just had so many distractions here between the Adidas stuff, guys leaving for personal reasons, injuries. Plus, they've got this like weird dark cloud over their head that they just can't get out of their own way on the road. Not saying that they're going to lose outright, but there is a definite shot. And I think, yeah, we're late to the window on Northeastern because the lines move so much. But I can say the same thing about K-State, though. We confirmed yesterday Dean Wade is going to be out for the rest of the season, it looks like. And if that is the case, I wouldn't be surprised to see K-State lose to UC Irvine. So yeah, those are the two 13 seeds I'm looking at. We've seen money coming on UC Irvine already. That's a really scrappy team. Now, granted, last year K-State took care of them easily, and I think people are going to see that. No, Dean Wade was already built into the line when it came out at 6, so not 5. If it starts dropping a little bit lower, I might start looking towards the Wildcats as far as value goes, but I would not be surprised to see either one of those 13 seeds. I can't see St. Louis doing it. Murray State's an interesting 12 seed, though.
Totally.
Marquette looked poised to win their conference early on. They looked great. Then they lose those back-to-back games to St. John's, and it's like the wheels fell off. And here's a Murray State team really excited to be in the tournament and really scrappy and has done well against the spread this year.
Yeah, and John Morant is one of the most exciting players in basketball, so it's easy to root for Murray State in that way.
And I think that's going to be a really interesting dynamic with him and Marcus, just who's really the best player on the court. I think we're going to see a really good game, and I wouldn't be surprised to see it go down to the wire, either team winning, but Murray State covering.
Out of the top seeds, the top 4-1 seeds, who do you think is the most vulnerable?
I think it's Gonzaga, and I hate to harp on this because it seems like everybody is, but that West Coast Conference is just not tough. Now, granted, they played some really tough games in their non-conference, and they showed us what they could do, but at some point in time, you just hit cruise control, and you're waiting for March, where I think you should be trying to overachieve and try to peak at a certain time, and I just don't think they did, and that loss to St. Mary's, I was on St. Mary's. Not to win, though. I even said that on the HQ show. I said, I'm taking the points here with the Gales, but I don't think they're going to win. And sure enough, they ran away with that game. And that concerns me because you have to look at it two ways. Was Gonzaga just kind of cruising? Hey, we've already beat this team twice. We don't care. Or is there something more that we're missing with that team? And I think the West is not going to be a necessarily tough bracket for them to get there, but I really like Florida State in that bracket, and that's who I have in my Final Four.
Interesting. Gearing up for the debut of Action on Showtime, a four-part documentary exploring the legalization of sports gambling. It debuts on Sunday, March the 24th. That comes up this Sunday, 8 p.m. on Showtime. And Kelly Stewart, a former nightclub waitress in Vegas that parlayed a long-shot gambling win into a career as a pro handicapper, so you'll be featured in this.
Yeah, very excited. It was a really fun football season. You know, camera crews following you around every day. Just trying to see what your daily life is like. And I'm sitting here telling the directors, like, you guys, I'm really boring during football season. I have my shows. I sit there in my sweatpants on my couch with my French bulldog while she snores. Like, I get games done. And they're like, yeah, but don't you go to the sports book? And I'm like, yeah, if I have friends in town, I go to the sports book. I'm like, I try to avoid that place. Like, you know, you get your money in your apps, and now it's 2019. You know, before you'd have to go and you'd try to shop numbers. Anymore, I think those days are kind of gone, where it's great because you just have your laptop and your iPad and you're just set.
Grubhub, your betting app, and that's all you need, and a flat screen TV at home.
I do use Postmates, unless I'm supposed to say Grubhub for promotional purposes.
No, Postmates is
but
fine.
But yeah, I actually...
Seamless will work, whatever.
There was
we gotta wrap up, unfortunately, but what were you going to say?
No, I'm just laughing at my Postmates bill every month. You're right. It's just ridiculous.
That's why you need to gamble.
Yes.
Make sure your Postmates bill is paid. When we come back, thanks so much, Kelly. We've got the Johnny Manziel news.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.